The point which I like to stress upon is that the soft tissue impact can be detected very, very early. The bone and tooth impact, which would appear very much later, then it's too late to do anything good for the individual.
Tell me what kind of symptoms you look for then for a fluoride poisoning.
When the patients come, I take a good history. And when I take the history, I first ask them what are their complaints for which they came to the hospital. So maybe the one which bothers them most, they'll come out first. And invariably, it is a gastrointestinal discomfort. Tummy pain, bloated tummy, constipation, loss of appetite, nausea, and these are the kind of things which they come with. Over and above, some individuals may have a tendency to drink more water because they feel their throat is drying up all the time, and they may also have to visit the urinal more frequently to empty their bladder. And some of them will say, I'm so weak, I'm so tired, I don't have any energy to work. They're getting into depression.
I was very struck by your slides which showed the stomach lining. And you showed a slide which was low fluoride in the water. Then you showed a slide of 1.2 parts per million in the water, which is not very high. And then another slide at 3 parts per million. A striking difference.
That's right.
In those, describe what's happening there, if you would.
In fact, what happens when you take high fluoride containing water, food, whatever, whichever the source, it's immaterial which the source is. But when it gets into the GI tract, gastrointestinal system, first it comes to the stomach, then it goes to the intestine and all the way down. What happens is, in the stomach, we have a particular type of cell which is known as parietal cell, which makes hydrochloric acid. That is why we have acidity in the stomach. But when fluoride comes in, it makes hydrofluoric acid, HF.
HF, yeah.
It is so corrosive, so damaging. It destroys the lining of the stomach and intestine. And when they destroy the lining of the stomach and intestine, you lose the microvilli, and fluoride inhibits the enzymes which produces the mucus in the goblet cells.
So that explains the constipation.
That explains the constipation. You will not be able to go to the toilet and have a comfortable bowel movement. And that is because the fluoride inhibits the enzymes which produces the mucus.
Yes.
And when the microvilli and the lining is gone, you will not absorb the nutrients, however rich food you consume.
Ah, so somebody who's taking tablets for, say, anemia,
they will not absorb it.
They won't absorb the iron.
Unless you remove the fluoride source, and which you can detect from the urinary fluoride level. If the urinary fluoride level of an individual is high, it means he is consuming high fluoride, maybe from water, maybe from food, maybe through some drugs, whatever.
Yeah.
And the moment you know urinary fluoride is high, when I say high, it should not be more than 1 milligram per liter. But the range is 0.1 to 1.
Yeah.
And when you try to prevent the disease, we would like to bring down the urinary fluoride to the lowest end of the range.
Okay, now somebody comes in, they have some of these symptoms, they could be any cause. How do you identify that it's fluoride that's the culprit? What do you do?
I test their blood serum. It's a routine test for diagnostic purpose. Urinary fluoride, serum fluoride, drinking water fluoride, and I test the hemoglobin levels. These four I must do initially, and if the urinary fluoride is high, hemoglobin is low. I also want to know whether the changes have already started setting in the joints and in the bone. Maybe at that point of time they don't have any pain in the joints, but it is likely to develop. So to see that, I also take a forearm x-ray. In the forearm x-ray, I will see ligamental calcification, which I can see in the radiograph. So once I see this, sometimes the radiograph may not show. That means I'm more happy because patient has come to us very, very early. And prevention and control and reverting him to normal is very easy. So the thing is that this gastrointestinal mucosa losing the microvilli can create so many problems. Now let us take anemia. You may have a good nutritive diet. You are not absorbing the nutrients, nor the iron, folic acid, vitamin, nothing. So as a result, people don't synthesize hemoglobin in the body. Now, what we felt, the best group of people that we should help them is the pregnant women. In India, we have a big problem of anemia in pregnancy, leading to low birth weight babies. Anemia, when we say internationally, the guideline is if the hemoglobin is less than 11 gram per deciliter, the person is anemic. And when we talk about children, low birth weight baby means when they were born, if the birth weight is less than 2.5 kg, it's a low birth weight baby. It should be more than 2.5. That's the normal birth weight. Now, these are the two things which we wanted to investigate and see whether we could help the individuals. In India, as a rule, the government has been supplying in all antenatal clinics iron and folic acid tablets free to the pregnant women in order to get good babies, healthy babies. We don't want deformed babies to be born. And this has been going on for some time. And still the women did not improve their hemoglobin. So the obstetrician and gynecologist, their presumption was these women don't take the tablets. And which was, we had no proof. So when we started working with the antenatal clinics, one of the things which we did, every visit when the women came, we used to ask them to bring the pouch in which they have their tablets. So we used to say, how many did you eat? We used to count the tablets. And every one of them, really speaking, they did take the tablets, but they did not improve the hemoglobin levels. Now that meant, and then we found the urinary fluoride levels are so high, their GI mucosa had been destroyed. They were not absorbing the iron and folic acid tablets given free to the women by the hospital. So we said a high urinary fluoride, we could reduce it by withdrawing the source of fluoride intake. So we used to interview them to know whether it is coming from the food, the toothpaste, whether they are taking fluoride contaminated water. So we used to test the water, test the urine fluoride, and we used to eliminate the source which we understood from them. And the moment you eliminate fluoride, the gastrointestinal mucosa and the microvilli will regenerate. The body has the capacity to regenerate in about 10 to 12 days. And once it regenerates, they start absorbing the iron and folic acid tablets given by the hospital and the diet counseling which we give to improve their dietary intake. And the next visit to the hospital, they would have improved the hemoglobin by 5.5 gram, 1 gram. It goes up. So I have seen in the women whom we have monitored over the last 4 years, I've been able to raise the hemoglobin in anemic women from 5 gram per deciliter to 14.1 or 14.5 grams per deciliter, and the babies born are 3, 3.5, 3.89 kg. What more can you have?
Well, this is amazing. And you're able to do this simply by eliminating fluoride from the diet, giving them a better diet.
I counsel them to say, what are the vegetables and fruits which are high in calcium, milk and yogurt, and fruits which are inexpensive but high in nutritive value. And we don't depend in our country mostly the supermarket products, packaged food. We all buy vegetables and fruits from the farmers market, and I teach them which one they should pick up and how they should eat that stuff. And it's amazing recovery and improvement.
And this is so simple.
Exactly.
Now, you've just been in Canada for a few days. Have doctors here heard about this? I mean, do they have ways of even diagnosing fluoride?
No, in fact, I was surprised because I was aware of this, that you don't have any diagnostic facility in this part of the world. That shocks me. So the doctors and the dentist, few of them whom I have met in this country during this meeting, I said to them, they must set up a diagnostic facility to begin with, maybe for their research purpose, and eventually when everything is running well, they could extend the service to the hospital service.
You know, people in the United States and Canada all the time are getting blood tests for this, blood tests, a urine test. So this would be straightforward. All you need is for them to be aware.
Yes.
The same labs could be doing these
tests.
That's right. Now, again, the shock, isn't it, that most Western doctors are oblivious to fluoride's health.
You know, the feeling that I get in this part of the world, this fluoride is good for teeth, that slogan has gone on for too long.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks what the dentists are saying is true, which is not true. And they just believe it. But I think they have to come out of it and realize there is a harmful side effects of fluoride which outweighs the so-called beneficial effects for prevention of caries.
Yeah. And it must be extraordinary for you, if coming from a country where you are trying to get fluoride out of the water, defluoridation equipment, to come to countries which deliberately add fluoride to the water.
It is unacceptable for us, you know. It's unbelievable how it could have gone on for so long. Unbelievable, because everybody would like to enjoy good health. One other important point which I like to stress upon, there is something known as sensitivity and tolerance. Some people are tolerant, some people are extremely sensitive, within the same family. So you can't add fluoride to drinking water and give the same dose to everyone, and some are going to react very adversely. So it's very unethical, into my mind, to add fluoride to drinking water and tell everyone you drink this water. Mm-hmm. And it should never be done. You know, it is very strange and unbelievable that a country like North America, where everything, you are in the forefront of scientific research and going to the moon, and there you have no scientific data to support these kind of things, and you are deliberately adding fluoride without any scientific basis, which is unacceptable for us.
And you're trying to get fluoride out of the water.
We are trying to get fluoride out of the water, and it is a very tough job. And we are investing so much of money. The government of India, the government of China, we all have national programs for elimination of fluoride from drinking water so that we can make sure our people get good water to drink.
What about the World Health Organization's safe level of 1.5 parts per million?
World Health Organization sets up guidelines. And the guideline of World Health Organization is really speaking not meant for any country to follow. The reason why I say this, their guideline says 1.5 milligram per liter of fluoride is desirable. This word desirable has done all the damage in the world.
Yeah.
All the damage possible in the world to the children.
Yeah.
Why should a poison be desirable? I don't understand. So when we started our technology mission on safe drinking water in India, 20 years ago, the first thing we did was we eliminated the word from our dictionary, desirable. We don't want desirable. And we lowered the water fluoride level to 1 milligram per liter. We kept as the upper limit, which the body may tolerate, I like to underline the word may. And then we also added a rider saying less the better. Because you cannot remove 100% fluoride from the water, there will be traces left behind. It may be 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, but therefore we should make every effort to reduce the fluoride to the lowest limit as possible.
Now, in all your experience, have you ever suspected that fluoride, other than killing bacteria in the mouth, has any positive benefit for the human body?
Absolutely nothing. In fact, what I would like to say, other than bacteria, fluoride killing the bacteria, we really can end, and also they destroy all the enzymes except one or two, adenyl cyclase, they activate. Other than that, most of the enzymes are inhibited. So our entire metabolic pathway is deranged.
Yeah.
That is what is happening. And it kills the tissues, the metabolic process is deranged, and there is no substitute. How you can rectify the damage? You've got to take the poison out.
So no benefit, a lot of evidence of damage.
Exactly.
And you spent how many years in India doing this work?
In fact, I started my basic research way back in 1974, almost 34 years ago.
34 years.
And ever since that time, there was no looking back. It was always marching forward.
Yeah.
Because the benefit that we could give to the people was so enormous, and it is so satisfying to see a person is pulled out from his agony and give him a good, normal, healthy life. So I have never looked back for even a moment.
What do you want to say to doctors in North America and throughout the world?
In fact, I have been looking at this part of the world, and I strongly feel a time has come when the doctors must realize that they owe to the community, they owe to the society. They cannot say, we don't understand fluorosis. If they don't understand, they must read. There are textbooks we have brought out, it's for the whole world. They can read. If they can understand HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, dementia, Parkinsonism, why not fluorosis? Just try to read and understand the disease. And the best thing to do, you must teach your undergraduate medical and dental students, and your residency program must have fluorosis as a disease to be taught, and they must practice. And for which, one of the basic requirements, I feel every hospital, irrespective whether it's Canada, United States, Britain, Australia, you must set up a diagnostic facility like you have in every other hospital for every other disease. Set up the facility, diagnose the disease, prevent the disease, teach the students, you march forward.
Yeah.
And you have a healthy nation with healthy people, healthy children.
And water fluoridation?
Water fluoridation, stop it.
Dr. Sushila, thank you so much.
Thank
you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Everybody.
Thank you so much. Okay.